All right. Well, obviously that is a parody, but this video is really about how people perceive Christianity. That they perceive Christianity as a bunch of rules. That all of you have to grow a beard, okay? Look at my beard! Okay. Mine is a little different, but that's for Mario, okay? It's not mandatory, all right? Many people think that church and Christianity is about a bunch of rules. That it's boring. They say rules like spend all free time in church. You're not allowed to have fun unless you're laughing at how dumb the devil is. I thought that was pretty crazy. Wear t-shirts with my face on it, wear a stylish beard. People think that Christianity is like this. You have to stop having fun. Burn your footballs and never miss church again. That sounds pretty legalistic to me. And yeah, you know, the reason why this is made is to kind of shock us a little bit and make us see, like, how does the church come across and how are people perceiving us? How do they perceive us? I tell you, we don't require everyone to grow a stylish beard, okay? But we are asking our leaders to wear stick-on mustaches during the week, even the girls, okay? We're putting on colorful hats, kind of like Mario, and wearing little mustaches that you stick on. They are removable, okay? And not with that hair cream stuff either, okay? They're removable just by pulling, okay? And so all of this is strategic. All of this, if you look around here, all of this is strategic. We know that in our culture, video games, movies, and everything is vying for our kids' attention. They're vying for our attention, too. They say, watch me, listen to me, buy my product, do this, do that. If you think people are just trying to entertain you, then you forgot. You forgot what's going on because they want you to be what they're telling you to be. You know, MTV, I heard this a while back, that MTV actually had a strategy of how to make kids into exactly what they want, so they listen to their music, buy their stuff, listen to their lyrics, and again, MTV would get rich. And they actually had certain names for what they wanted a boy to be and what they wanted a girl to be. And they're still trying to do it. They're still trying to do it. Now, who is the ultimate enemy? The devil, right? And we're not laughing at how dumb the devil is, okay? But the enemy is the devil. The Bible says, we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the heavenly sphere. It means even the guy shouting or cussing you out, he's not your enemy. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is Satan. And that we need to see past the peripheral. We need to see past right what's right in front of our face. And that's hard, isn't it? Because what vies for our time, vies for our emotions, let's pull this heartstring so they'll buy some Dove soap. Let's pull this heartstring so they'll buy more Hallmark cards. Okay? There is these, we're going to do this because if we make you, MTV said it, if we make them into this is what they'll buy. This is how we'll become rich. And this is how we will just grow and grow and grow. I mean, it's diabolical. It's evil. But there are things and people out there that are trying to shape our children and trying to make them who they shouldn't be, right? And so we are at war. We are maybe not in a video game to win. But we are in a place where we do not battle against flesh and blood, but do we battle? We sure do. We sure do. And there is strategy. There is strategy to reach them. Like the Apostle Paul, we're using cultural icons to relate the gospel. Paul, when he was in Athens, pointed to the unknown God and used this as a diving board into talking about God who made the universe, right? He goes, see that unknown God? See that unknown God? Let me tell you all about him. Let me tell you all about him. And he used it to communicate the gospel so effectively. This week, we're dressing like missionaries. This may not look like a missionary outfit, does it? Looks pretty silly. My neighbor, I was meeting my new neighbor. He said, his name is Bryce. And I said, hey, Bryce. And we started talking. I was like, yeah, I was outside waving in that Mario costume. He's like, that was you? His whole viewpoint of me might have changed at that moment. I'm hoping not badly, okay? But again, we are putting on, when you're a missionary, what do? You go to that culture, you learn how they dress, you learn how they speak, you learn their language, right? And then you learn cultural context. You learn how to strategically, and I'm going to say that a bunch of times, speak into their life in a way that they will understand the gospel. Let me give you an example. In one tribe that missionaries went to, there was massive killings that went on between tribes. Here's a tribe, and they'd kill each other back and forth. And as they learned about that tribe, they learned as missionaries, there's this thing called the Peace Child. You can read the book, it's called Peace Child. And they learned that a long time ago, they talked about a peace child coming into the world. And as one tribe gave their peace child to the other one, saying, now I'm sacrificing, not to kill, but to raise that child as your own, that there would be peace between the tribes. And they used that cultural connection, say, Jesus is that peace child. He came into the world as a child to bring peace between you and me and us and God, because we had sinned and we had fallen short. You know, it's neat talking about Dakota Fest. They're going to use colors like beads, right, on those staffs. And it begins simply saying, you know what? God made the world this green. It was beautiful. It was lush. It was amazing. But yet we sinned and our hearts turned black. It's like we caked on the mess of the world on us. But yet Jesus came as that peace child, and he came and he shed his blood, that red there, to make peace with you and I and to bring us into relationship. And then he made us pure. That white is purity. And that purity is something that I can't do myself, you can't do by yourself, but Jesus comes and makes you pure. And he's sanctifying you, which means he's washing you over and over again. And soon we're going to be going to heaven where streets are going to be lined with gold, where no more tears, no more pain, no more hurt, and we're going to be restored. The garden's going to be back. The tree of life's going to be back. The four rivers are going to be back, and everything's going to be awesome. That's what we get to share at Dakota Fest. That's what we get to share. And that message of the gospel is going to be shared throughout the week with students, with children. And I think about missionaries, and I think about missionaries getting out of comfort zone, okay? I'm not comfortable in this. It's nice. I mean, you know, that's not bad. But it does definitely show off I look like Mario, okay? In more ways than one, not just the beard, okay? So that's not great, but I'm getting out of my comfort zone a little bit. Natalie says not so much, but it still is a little bit, you know? And so we leave, you know, missionaries, they leave the comfort of their own home, the United States, and they go all over the world preaching the gospel. They're living out daily the Great Commission. Matthew 28, if you want to turn there, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's a powerful scripture. You know, for us sometimes as Christians, it might be, for some people, it's really hard to give because we're pressed to give. But some of us, it's easier to give money. But talk about doing something sacrificial like moving to another country. But yet, when we think about the Great Commission, sometimes that's all we think of is out there, beyond our borders. We get to be missionaries right here, this week, at Vacation Bible School. We get to be missionaries to children that's so need it in an awesome way, in an encouraging way, in a deep way. And so we get to be a part of that. And in fact, when it comes to Dakota Fest, that's another opportunity to minister the gospel right here, the Great Commission, right here. We have it. We have it right here. And as we focus on missions this morning and are intentional about missions and the Great Commission, I believe our lives will be changed. And so will the lives of our children. Missionaries are out there every day fulfilling the Great Commission with passion, with tenacity, with perseverance. And they, many times, you know, you think about video games and there's heroes in video games, right? And there's heroes, you know, you think of Spider-Man and Batman and all those superheroes, right? And you think of just the fact that they are kind of a hero to your child, right? And so we are going to share with them what it means to have the unsung heroes, the people that we don't normally hear about that are heroes. And my encouragement to you is to do that for your kids, your grandkids, those that are around you that you can pour into, that you share with them about the unsung heroes. We as a culture make people that are who? Movie stars into heroes, right? Into stars, right? To look up to be amazed at, to read when they went to bed last night. I mean, it's too much, right? It's like, did you hear they went out for coffee yesterday? Wow, that's awesome. Cameron Diaz went for coffee. Who cares? Who cares? And we so focus on these people that again, even we can show an example that we're getting all in that. That it's consuming us rather than Christ consuming us. Christ coming inside of us and transforming us and making us new and making old habits die and building new ones. We talked about in earlier weeks, taking off the old self with its practices and putting on the new self and being built up in compassion and kindness and gentleness and mercy and strength and character. Stuff that will last on into eternity. And, you know, kids, they're watching those heroes, but they're also watching you. They're watching you. And they are looking to imitate. You know, I see my son, he's like, psh, psh. Or Natalie said, when I did this, I look like a cowboy. So Dylan's like, cowboy, psh, 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 you know? And it's cute, you know? It's not, I'm like, now you play a character in the Bible. There's no acting like a cowboy. You know, we're not legalistic. My kids are allowed to read books outside of the Bible. It's not like, oh, Horton, here's a who. Burn that thing. He's got an elephant and he thinks there's another world. You know, I mean, allow kids to be kids. I don't mean cut them off from different things, but I mean that we have to realize that we got to be intentional. Because if we're not intentional, you know, when I was assistant pastor at Calvary, you know, I was talking to some youth pastors, and they said to me, and I think I've shared this before, but they said to me, you know, some parents come up to me and they say, my kid's involved in this and involved in this and involved in this. What are you doing? And he's like, I've got them for 3 hours, maybe 6 hours of the week. You got them the rest. You know, and yeah, school and stuff too, but kind of like, you're the parent, right? This stuff, you know, Deuteronomy talks about walking on the road, and as we're walking on the road, talking about the things of God. Why does it say that? Because we're on the go, aren't we? We're walking to this. Oh, we got to get you to the soccer tournament. Oh, we got to get over here. Oh, we got to get over here. Well, on the way, let's talk about it. On the way, let's invest. On the way, let's find a creative way to do it rather than, okay, let's sit down. We got to act like we're in Sunday school here. Sit. All right. Let's get out. Be creative. Do something different. I think this is a little creative. You know, get out of the box in terms of creativity. And again, when we're talking about imitating, I'm going to share about talking about missionaries. There's missionaries in the Bible, right? But there's also missionaries that are here and today and out on the field today, and they're sharing. In VBS, we're going to be talking about the hero David, a man after God's own heart. He's our biblical hero who will point to Christ as the ultimate hero, because even David is in need of a hero. Even David is in need of salvation. So does your child or grandchild's heroes, are they superheroes? Do they have catchy songs like Dora? Again, I'm just playing, but how are we helping them find heroes who are real and have been used by the Lord to make lasting impacts for eternity? I remember I was sharing, we spent about 9 months in Memphis, and we were going to a big AG church there. It was like 1,500 people, and I was teaching the Sunday school there. And it was young families and everything. And something that even the pastor's daughter shared, you think, well, she knows it. She's a pastor's daughter. She was most influenced by a missionary that came and spoke at her church. And then she followed up on her. She stayed connected with her. And she has spoke volumes into her life. Volumes into her life. We've been given the task to shape and form our children's lives and to train them up in the way they should go. If you want to turn to it or write it down, Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Is that unconditional? Is that unconditional? That was kind of a trick question. It's a principle. It's a principle. Because there are a lot of parents out there in the Christian world that said, I raised up my kid and they're acting like the devil. I raised up my kid and they are totally far from God. Okay? This is a principle that if we will practice it, and I don't mean 2 hours a week, and I don't mean just a nice little lesson here or there. When it talks about train up a child in the way, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Pastor John, that's Old Testament. Now you're putting a New Testament scripture. The Old Testament is the unveiling of the new. And the unveiling of the new is the completion of all. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, right? So again, I came to fulfill. So Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, does that mean we don't have free will? Does that mean our kids can't fall away from the Lord and choose their own way? Yes. That's why it's not unconditional, because it's not based on God. It's based on our free will to then follow the principles that we've been taught or to stray from that. Because how do we show love? Love is a verb. We talked about that, right? Love is an action. And if I tell you, well, this is unconditional, I raised you in it, and now you must, you must, you must, you must. That's the biggest deterrent of kids that are children, then become teenagers, and then young adults, and leave the church. We say, you must, you must, you must, and what is the common reaction to that? No! Get away! I don't want anything to do with you. I mean, it's a painful reality. But when we must and must and must, rather than, you know what? Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm willing to get in there with you. I'm willing to get in the trenches with you. I'm willing to be there for you. In the critical times in your life, when you feel so broken, you feel so alone, I am there with you. Train up a child in the way they should go. Are we doing that? How can we do it more? How can God give us the tools, transform our heart, so instead of us saying, hey, get up here, let me take your hand, and me and you are going to walk together. Oh, you fell down here. Come on, come on, get in Daddy's arms. I love you. God loves you unconditionally. He showed me that unconditional love, and I want to pour that out on you. Come on with me. So when we think about living as examples, when we think about imitating heroes, who's our hero? This is a Sunday school answer, but Jesus. Jesus is our hero. He's our hero. He loves us. I'm going to teach you something. It's called the echo effect. And we don't have as much echo in here, praise the Lord. But let me teach you about the echo effect. I was highly involved in Ron Luce's ministry. It's called Teen Mania Ministries. Teen Mania. And we used to call people, too, about Acquire the Fire. It was a youth convention. And sometimes we'd say it fast, like, hey, I'm calling about Acquire the Fire. And they're like, your choir's on fire? What? Or I'm calling from ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms? No, I'm sorry. It's a youth convention. I'm calling about a youth convention pastor, okay? So we'd have to clarify, okay? But he was on the radio, this Ron Luce, who heads up Teen Mania Ministries, and he was talking about the echo effect. And he explained that parents can be teaching their kids all about Christianity and living for God, and you may be sharing it for years, but when they hear it from someone else, like a Ron Luce, or someone else they admire outside of the parent-child relationship, there is this aha moment that they suddenly get what the parent has tried to instill for years. Aha. This is the power of the echo effect. And the influence of other Christian heroes who are living for God outside of our home. You see, you can be a hero to a child. You may not have children, but you may be what causes them to go, aha, aha, I get it. I didn't get it before. I don't know why. You know, my dad, he's full of wisdom. But, you know, as a kid and teenager, you're kind of like, I don't want any more wisdom. Please stop the wisdom from flowing. I just wanted to know if you like these jeans. Okay? So, you know, like sometimes as a parent, you're like, instill wisdom. This is my job. And we get so into it. They're like, I can't just hear your opinion and you share mine. They can, and we can, and Dad, you can if you're listening to this via the internet. But again, you know, just as I think every parent does that, we want to instill wisdom, but there's this switchover that happens too in late in almost adulthood that we say, okay, you know what? I do want to share wisdom, but I'm going to wait for you to say, hey, can you give me some advice on this? And then hear me out on my side of things and how I'm feeling and how I'm doing. I think parents have a hard time with that, changing over from kind of the wisdom train, woo, woo. Okay, just came into my head, okay? But now, you know what? Now, so what do you think about that? Well, that's a great idea. You know, let's apply that. Let's put that into practice. Wow, that was great of you to think of that. Can you give me some ideas? Wow, that's a little shocking. When a parent says to their child, can you give me some ideas on that? I want to hear your thoughts on this. It's an interesting thing. Try it sometime. Not overly, because then they're like, I know all, and I will tell you all, because my society says I'm better than you, because I'm newer, I'm more updated, I'm the new version, I'm new software. You know, no, you're not. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. Use good judgment. Don't be a fool. Okay? Don't play the fool, child, because we can so easily do that. You can be a hero to a child. We, like magnets, we can draw people to God by our actions, or we can repel them away, right? You flip that magnet over, and it's, you know, you play those magnetic checkers, and you flip that over, and boom, instead of being sucked to, they're pushed away from. And we are like that. We can either repel or we can attract. How do we intentionally draw people to God, especially this upcoming generation? Well, there's a lot of ways, but one that I want to highlight this morning is by showing our children examples of others who have pursued God with great passion. I just want to highlight a couple. I want to highlight a couple for you. One, Natalie, she went on an AIM trip. It's called Ambassadors in Mission. She went to Argentina. And while she was there, she met our missionaries, the Detrolios. They're New York Assembly of God missionaries. And they went out there to them. And they lived with them. And they breathed the same breath. You know, they weren't like, that would be gross and disgusting, all right? But they were close to them enough to be right in the same realm 24/7. And Natalie just saw examples of Christ, saw people that were on fire for Jesus. Their kids were on fire for Jesus. They just had a passion and excitement. They're changing lives. And Argentina would never be the same because the Detrolios came. What an awesome thing. And that heavily influenced Natalie Snyder. now Natalie Potter. And she saw that heart, and it just fueled her heart for ministry. Fueled her heart for ministry. You know, this may sound morbid, but they don't have to be alive, okay? Hudson Taylor, amazing missionary. I want to share a little bit about him. Hudson Taylor was born in May of 1832. Now, yes, that's a while ago. Please don't turn me off, okay? And then he died the 3rd of June in 1905. He was a British Protestant Christian missionary. And what he did to change missions is many times the British would come in with their missions and they would say, talk like me, walk like me, and do everything my culture does. Did the British culture have a great culture? Yes or no? What do you think? Not, yes, in some ways, right? They had advances, they had technology even at that time, right? They had the English language, which is the best, right? No, just kidding. But we may think so, and it's spoken by a lot of people. But again, he came in and he learned their language, but he dressed like they dressed. No, they didn't wear this, okay? But they dressed like they dressed. So he actually cut his hair, had a Fu Manchu, and had hair going like this, the ponytail kind of thing. He said, everybody that comes, you have to dress like them, you have to learn their language, and I want you to learn their culture before you share Jesus. Because I want you to be strategic when you share the love of Jesus. So you're not just, hope I hit something. Who goes deer hunting like that, you know? I think I got him. No, he's still running away. Right? We don't do that, right? We're strategic, right? Be quiet. Get in the tree stand. Wait for hours. Okay, I think I see something. You know? There you go. It sounds like a sheep or something, too. There's a sheep out there. Right? It takes strategy to go hunting, right? And so in the same way, why, when it comes to evangelism, we're just like, Jesus loves you, bah. Okay, I included the sheep. And so why do we do that instead of strategically looking to minister into people's lives, right? And so as a missionary, he changed British missions. In fact, he changed world missions because he said, you can't come unless you do these things. And he also empowered women. He said, come, single women, come and minister. You feel called to missions? Come give your life to missions. Come get buried here. In fact, sometimes he'd share about missions and people felt called to go, but they're like, oh, I'm itching to go, but I don't want to go. Oh, I'll give some money. And he goes, I don't want your money. I mean, a missionary that doesn't want your money, that sounds kind of like a oxymoron, right? A giant fairy or, I don't know, a huge elf, I don't know. An oxymoron, right? I mean, but he says, I don't. I want you to pray about what I'm talking about. And I want it to mess you up. I want it to so mess you up that you're not the same anymore. And many of them after that would give their lives to missions. They'd go with him. And they went to the eight different, I have them down here. They went to all the provinces of Asia, and they changed a nation. And it says that they were responsible for bringing over 800 missionaries to the country who began 125 schools and directly resulted in 18,000 Christian conversions, as well as the establishment of more than 300 stations of work with more than 500 local helpers in all 18 provinces. Amazing, huh? One guy. Started with one guy with a dream and a vision and a willingness. Kids should know about Hudson Taylor, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they? I mean, amazing. Amazing. He became my brother's hero. My brother was in college, and he actually studied East Asian studies, and his final paper, my brother's a doctor right now, okay? His final paper was on Hudson Taylor. His school was not a Christian school, so although he wrote an amazing paper, he got a C. But he was okay with that. So it's not about your C. Those of you that are involved in schooling right now, you know, sometimes a C is okay. If you're doing it for God and you're doing it for the reasons that you are to go forth, right? Do all things in excellence, but he's still got a C. And so, but Hudson Taylor is still my brother's hero. Since then, my brother is still involved with East Asia, and he has plans to go there in the future. His wife is Vietnamese. They have two beautiful children, and just an awesome effect that Hudson Taylor had on my brother's life. When you think of missionaries, you think of Apostle Paul. Teach your kids about Apostle Paul, that he had a wider vision and had carried out a more systemized plan of evangelizing in such an amazing way. Talk about Paul. Talk about Hudson Taylor. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says that I have become all things to all men so that I may by all means save some. Hudson Taylor is a wonderful example of becoming all things to all men, wearing the same clothes, cutting his hair, absorbing their culture so that his European background would not get in the way of sharing the gospel. Hudson Taylor paved the way for modern missions and cross-cultural discipleship that went on. You know, the challenge to us is to give our kids, and here's just some tips, okay? Give them assignments to accomplish where they're actively learning about heroes of the faith. For the future, think of getting your child to go on a mission trip when they're young. When they're young. I was 17, but it was still young enough, you know, to take that leap and to go. And since then, I had been 5 summers on the mission field. Just God sparked me, and I've never been the same since. Read letters of our Assemblies of God missionaries. We get them. I would be happy to. Corrine would be happy to make copies when she gets them in there, or Joe. And read those letters to your kids and about the awesome things of the missionaries we're supporting to help go. Read to them all about those things. I want to close with a story about one of our Assemblies of God missionaries. Our field director from the Asia-Pacific region, Robert Houlihan, shares his testimony of our missionaries in Mongolia. Outer Mongolia was isolated from the gospel for 2,000 years. The people are proud of their ancestral heritage with Genghis Khan. These nomadic people live in tents across the plains of the Gobi Desert. When a crack came in the door to the country and it was about to open, Assemblies of God missionaries went to see what could be done with no Bible in the Mongolian language and only a minimum of Christian literature. A crusade was held in the capital, Ulaanbaatar. The first night, a young deaf man was healed in the meeting, and others were touched by the power of God. In 3 days, 500 people responded to the gospel. The last night, a demon-possessed Buddhist monk was trying to prevent people from coming to the Lord. And in front of 800 Mongolians, the power of God bound the power of Satan. People who lived in fear of demonic power and control witnessed a greater power. The kingdom of God came to Mongolia. After the monk was cast out of the meeting, people ran forward to the altar. As they came, they discarded their Buddhist prayer papers, their amulets, and their prayer books. Signs and wonders authenticated the call to follow Jesus. And even this morning during communion, I shared about Renee's story, and I shared about how God opened. We were talking about, by your wounds we are healed. And he opened her wound. I believe that. I truly believe it. Renee truly believes it. And she witnessed to the doctor. The doctor's like, what'd you do? And she's like, Doc, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Jesus wants your life. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And signs and wonders are to show that God is real, that our lives should be different because of it. And that we can imitate him. That we can follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Paul said he's the least of the apostles. He's the least of the disciples. He said, who am I? Who am I? But God said, I chose you. Would you bow your heads with me? I believe that the Lord has his arms wide open. And he says, come to me, all who you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's not a God that is full of you must, you must, you must. He's full of grace and full of mercy. Will today be the day of your salvation? Will you respond to his call and say, I want you to be Lord and King of my life. If you would, I ask you that, if that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I want to pray and I want to ask Jesus to be in my heart. I want to make that commitment. I want him to be the King and the Lord of my life. If you want to do that, just slip up your hand and I'd love to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm just going to give a moment more. If that's you and you want to pray, raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I want him to wash over me and make me new. I see that hand. Thank you. Well, pray this with me. Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You came to save me, to wash me, to make me clean. Transform my heart. Wash me. Make me new. And I promise to follow you. Help me to do that with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you pray that, that means that it says that in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your mouth that you believe and are justified. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And my challenge to you this morning as we close is to be a part of God's mission. Whether that is sharing about a missionary like Hudson Taylor that you heard today, or that is sharing about Mongolia and how God did amazing supernatural things there, or it's sharing about a hero like David, the Apostle Paul, pour into somebody's life and encourage them. God bless you today and have a wonderful day. And again, we'll start Sunday school at 11 for those.